Prayer was so much a feature of Jesus' life that it prompted his disciples to ask, "Lord, teach us to pray." F.B. Meyer says of this request, "It was a wise and good request, prompted by the Savior's own practice. He did not, in the first instance, command his disciples to pray, but he gave himself to the blessed practice of prayer, and this made them eager to learn and practice the holy art. This is the best way of inculcating new and holy habits on those who surround us. We should daily ask the Master to teach us to pray." Paul instructs Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 6, about the necessity to pray, the necessity for the church to pray. And in so doing, he identifies 6 reasons for prayer. We must pray because we are needy. We must pray because it's one way to worship God. We must pray because other people need our intercession. We must pray because it's right to show our gratitude to God. We must pray because our public leaders need it. And we must pray because there are those who need to come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 6, "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time." In verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul gives us the first 4 reasons for prayer as he uses 4 of the New Testament's 7 words for prayer in that verse alone. There are many who believe that Paul uses these 4 words just simply as synonyms, piling synonym upon synonym. There are others who believe that Paul uses these 4 words because of their distinctive differences. I believe he uses them because they express 4 different aspects of prayer. First of all, we read, "I urge then, first of all." What Paul is saying is that prayer must be a priority for the church. Prayer must be a priority for believers. There is an urgency to pray. It's of first importance. "I urge then, first of all, that requests." The word requests has the idea of going to God with a sense of our spiritual poverty, going to God with a sense of our deep spiritual needs, the idea of bringing our requests before God. You see, prayer is not a display of piety. It's not a religious duty, but rather out of our need, out of our desire, out of our deep spiritual poverty, we bring our needs before God. G. Campbell Morgan says of this word requests, which in the King James translation is supplications, he says, "Supplications are requests which express a need in which all those offering them share. In my own view, they refer to the deepest spiritual needs for cleansing, for spiritual enablement, of which all worshipers are conscious as they approach the holy place." We pray, first of all, because we are needy. We sense our poverty. We bring our requests before God. We are needy people. Paul then says, "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers." The word prayers is a general word for prayer, both public and private prayer. It's the word prosuke in Greek. And as Warren Wiersbe explains, it means prayer as worship. Not only the expression of needs and wants, but focusing on God, not human need. Campbell Morgan again writes this, "Prayers here are the distinct acts of worship in which the saints offer pure praise to God. The sense of need is for the moment forgotten, and the sense of the majesty and mercy of God call forth adoration. We not only pray because we are needy people, but we pray because it's one way that we can worship God and bring our adoration to Him." Paul says, "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession." That brings us the third reason for prayer. We pray because other people need our intercession on their behalf. Intercession is thinking of others and their needs, not just thinking about our own needs. Again, G. Campbell Morgan explains, "Intercessions are those requests for others which are the expression of love for them, begotten of love for God, and in which those offering them are entirely forgetful of their own personal needs." You see, we pray because we're needy. We pray because it's a way that we can worship God, but we pray because other people need our intercession, where for the moment we forget about ourselves and our needs and bring the needs of others before God. John Bailey, in his book, A Diary of Private Prayer, gives us, I think, one of the best examples of intercession. He says this, and as he suggests, I should say, this prayer, "Yet I would not think only of myself or pray only for myself as I now seek thy presence. I would remember before thee all my human brothers and sisters who need thy help. Especially tonight, I think of those who are faced by great temptations, of those who are faced by tasks too great for their powers, of those who stand in any valley of decision, of those who are in debt or poverty, of those who are suffering the consequences of misdeeds long ago repented of those who by reason of early surroundings have never had a fair chance in life, of all family circles broken by death, of all missionaries of the kingdom of heaven in faraway corners of the earth, of those who lift high the lamp of truth in lonely places. Dear Father of mankind, make me the human channel so far as in me lies, through which thy divine love and pity may reach the hearts and lives of a few of those who are nearest to me. Amen." We pray because we are needy. We pray because it's one way to worship God. We pray for other people who need our intercession. And fourth, we pray because it's right to show our gratitude to God. Paul writes, "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone." We thank God for all that He has done for us. We thank God that He hears our prayer. We thank God that He answers our prayer. We pray because it's right to show our gratitude to God. And as we show thanksgiving to God, and as we pray our gratitude to God, we will be training ourselves for eternity, in which all throughout eternity we will be thanking God and expressing our gratitude to Him. This prayer is to be made for everyone, Jew and Gentile, believer and unbeliever. Paul says everyone, all men, literally. G. Campbell Morgan says about thanksgivings, "Thanksgivings are those glad outpourings of grateful hearts in which they remember the giver of all gifts and render to Him the returns of expressed gratitude which are ever acceptable to Him." We pray because we are needy. We pray because it's one way to worship God. We pray because other people need our intercession. We pray because it's right to show our gratitude to God. Fifthly, we pray because our leaders need it. In verse 2, Paul goes on, pray for kings and all those in authority that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. We pray because our public leaders need it. Paul mentions kings here. He's speaking of our civil authorities. We pray for both good and bad leaders. The emperor at this time was the Emperor Nero, who is described as a cruel monster. He is the one who put Peter and Paul to death. We're to pray for our civil authorities. We're to pray for all those at all levels of government. We're to pray for those who can limit the church's ability to gather, who can limit the church's ability to teach and to study God's word, and who can limit the church's ability to evangelize. We must pray for their salvation. We must pray that they would have wisdom. We must pray that they would make good decisions. Paul said we need to pray for those in authority so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. That is, order is better than disorder, no matter who is in office. We must live so that we are free, as one writer said, of disruptions and hindrances. We must live reverent lives, godly lives, respectful lives. We pray for peace and we pray for quiet, not so that we can be left alone, but so that we can witness to those around us. And that leads us to the sixth reason for prayer in this passage. We pray because there are those who need Christ and we must spread the gospel. Paul writes, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time." We must pray for those who need to come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Paul shares several truths here. There is only one God, not many gods, and there is only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ, the one he has sent, the one who is the mediator, the one who is a bridge between us and God. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Peter, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 4, and verse 12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." There's one God. There is only one mediator between God and men. That is the man Christ Jesus. There are not many ways to God, many trails to God. There is one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ, the one who gave himself as a ransom. He died on the cross in my place and your place. Alistair McGrath says this, "Paul uses the idea of a ransom to explain the meaning of the death of Christ. That is, Christ's death is to be seen as a payment that ensures the liberation of those who were formerly in captivity." Jesus himself said in Matthew 20, 28 and Mark 10, 45, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." We pray because we are needy. We pray because it's one way to worship God. We pray because other people need our intercession. We pray because it's right to show our gratitude to God. We pray because our public leaders need our prayer and we need peace. And we pray because there are those who need Jesus Christ. There are those who need to come to saving faith in Him. And we have a part in that as we spread the gospel. Lord, thank You for the privilege of coming to You in prayer. Thank You that we can pray not only for ourselves, but that we can pray for the needs of others. Thank You, Lord, that we can pray for our leaders, and we do pray for their wisdom, and we pray for good decisions. And Lord, thank You for the opportunity we have to share the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.